I wonder if you ever heard of the Roman road of salvation. Sometimes we use it with children. A year or two ago, we were giving out bookmarks to the children, the Roman road. And basically what it is verses from the book of Romans that explain God's wonderful salvation. You've got Romans 3 verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then you have Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5 verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10 verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you've got these different verses that you can use to minister to children. But of course it can also be used to share the gospel with adults. These great verses from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, outlining how we who are fallen creatures far away from God can come to know him as our Savior. But one of the verses that you can use for that Roman road of salvation is chapter 6 and verse 23. It's our text for tonight. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So tonight we're going for a drive along this Roman road. And we want to stop in particular at this T-junction, as it were, because that's what it is here in Romans 6:23. We have a T-junction in God's word. You know what a T-junction is like? You come to it, obviously you've got to stop, and you can go left or right. You can go left where the signpost says, for the wages of sin is death. And you can go down that road. Or you can turn right and the signpost says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we want to think first of all about this sign that's pointing to the left on the Romans road. On the signpost, it tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Let me take that word wages first of all. The wages. That word refers to the wages of a soldier. Luke chapter 3 verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Be content with your wages. It's exactly the same word in the original Greek as is found in Romans 6:23, the wages of a soldier. Back in Bible times, Roman soldiers were not necessarily paid with money. They were often paid with different items, for example, bread, corn, salt. But whatever the currency, as it were, that they were paid in, the reality was that they had earned their wages. Well, here in Romans chapter 6, when the apostle speaks of wages, he's referring to something that is earned. And he's speaking about the wages of sin. And these are the wages that every person earns. Every person, that is, who is outside of Christ, they earn these spiritual wages. Some people's wages aren't very good. But I want to tell you, folks, these wages in Romans 6:23, they're awful. You see, it says the wages of sin is death. That's what's on the signpost on the Roman road of salvation. This T-junction that with our mind's eye tonight, we're staring across the road to the signs. And the sign going to the left, it tells us the wages of sin is death. Okay, so we're all on this road tonight. And there are those, sadly, who decide to go left, to go down this direction. The wages of sin is death. Now, who is the driver? Those who are without Christ tonight, who are going the wrong way, they are in a car, as it were, in a vehicle, but they're not driving. They are not behind the wheel. They're not in control. Who is the driver, I hear you ask? Well, it is sin. That's the name of the driver of your car if you're not a Christian this evening. If you've never been born again, or if you're a backslider, I want to say tonight, you're not holding the steering wheel. This tyrant called sin, he is holding the steering wheel. And he's the one who is taking you, as it were, down this road that leads to death. You tonight are the servant of sin. That's what it says in verse 20. Did you notice it? The same chapter, Romans 6 and verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. You see that word servants, it means slaves. Slaves. On Friday past, we were down Coleraine doing some outreach. It was good to be there. And we saw a lovely sign on the town hall. I don't know whether you've ever noticed it. To God's glory and in thankful memory of the spiritual awakening and revival of 1859, when this building was the place where many sought and found salvation in days of continual Pentecost. Those words were on a lovely, it was a lovely plaque on the just at the front of Coleraine Town Hall. Never knew that plaque existed. But just what a joy to be near there, to be near that building where God moved in a bygone day. And it was good to be reaching out with the gospel. But folks, you know, every person that we were reaching out to, they were just slaves. We were ministering and evangelizing slaves, spiritual slaves. Because that's the way it is. Every person who doesn't know the Lord Jesus, every person he hasn't set free, that's exactly what they are. It's just slavery. And they are not behind the wheel of the car. They're not in control. Sin is. And you see, folks, we need to think not only about this T-junction, but then as we have thought about this driver of the vehicle called sin, driving the person down this road, what is the wages of sin? What is the end destiny of those who refuse Christ? Well, it tells us there in the verse, for the wages of sin is death. Death. Physical death, yes. And death does come to all of us. It will come to every one of us unless Christ returns before that. And some people die natural deaths, but then there are other people who die tragic deaths. Folks, I hope you have been praying for the young people of our community, our city. You do know that there's a suicide epidemic at the present time. You're well aware of that. You don't need me to tell you that. So many young people who are going to the Craigavon Bridge or the Foyle Bridge and entering the river and ending their lives. And it's so incredibly sad. We need to be praying for our young folk in these days. We need to be reaching out with the gospel to them. Pray for the outreach as we go out on Friday, that the Lord would even bring us across some of these young people that are so troubled. They're so, so hurting, mixed up, whatever it is, the reasons behind it. Folks, we dare not look down on them. I always say, walk a mile in a man's shoes. Walk a mile in a person's shoes. Find out what they've been through. And pray for them. And do all you can to reach them with the gospel. And wouldn't it be lovely if these young people We're saved by God's grace. Yes, we thank God for Foyle Search and Rescue. They do a tremendous job. God bless them. Volunteers out when we're asleep and comfortable in the middle of the night, they're out on the river. And thank God for the messages of hope that have been posted on the bridges. Good words. And again, God bless those who are behind that effort. But you know, folks, ultimately what young people need is the gospel. They need the message of salvation. The message that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again. And this wonderful Lord Jesus who bled and died and rose from the dead, he's able to give you a purpose for living. He's able to bring meaning to your life. The devil wants young people, indeed all of us, to think there's no meaning in life, there's no purpose in life. And he wants to take us down to death. And I want to say tonight, folks, that the Lord is interested in the destination of every soul. A lot of people in our wee country are you know, interested in denomination. It's all about the denomination. But folks, I want to tell you tonight, God's not really interested in the denomination. No, but he's interested in the destination. And he wants each one in this church tonight to be saved. He wants everyone outside the church to be saved. And so here, to get back to the Roman road of salvation, we have this vehicle, as it were, or in Bible times, of course, it wouldn't have been a car, it would have been a chariot. And Paul has the idea here that there's two people in the chariot. The unconverted soul, and they're not in control. They're not holding the reins of the chariot. It's this tyrant called sin. And this tyrant called sin wants to take the person down to death. At 100 miles an hour, he's driving them straight for a cliff edge. And sin wants to take the person over the cliff edge and out into a lost eternity. I wonder, is anybody in the meeting tonight currently in that situation? Are you in the chariot? Are you in the car to modernize it? And there's this tyrant beside you in the car. He's got the steering wheel and his foot is on the accelerator and it's pressed right down. And he wants to take your soul over the edge. And if he can do it tonight, all the better as far as he's concerned. I trust that no one is in that predicament tonight. But if you are, I want to warn you that what Paul was referring to when he spoke of death was not just physical death. Because that word death primarily refers to the second death. That's a phrase that's used in the book of Revelation. I think it's four times. But let me just read one of the verses to you from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The second death. What we're dealing with here, folks, is that awful place called the lake of fire. The lake of fire. And again, the book of Revelation speaks of that place, the awful destiny, the eternal destiny of those who just don't believe the gospel. Notice that I didn't say the awful destiny of those who have murdered and those who have robbed and those who have beaten up old people. No, I didn't say any of that. It's all you have to do is to end up in this awful place is just to not believe the gospel. Because you notice what I read there in Revelation 21, that word unbelieving. Unbelieving. It's referring to people who come to church. But they say, not for me, not for me. Now that's the bad news. Let's come to the good news. We've got this road to the right. And the signpost says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The first question we need to ask tonight is, what is the gift? What's the gift here? Well, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life. You can have it tonight. It's a wonderful thing to have. But remember, it's a gift. This is not something that you earn. This is not a reward for people who have lived a righteous life. Because the Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. No, this is a gift. This is something that we do not earn. This is something that we don't pay for. Second question, not only what is the gift that Paul is speaking about, but where does it come from? The gift of God. The gift of God. Most people use that lovely word God as a swear word. Oh my. But you know, that word is so beautiful and so precious. That word deserves to be lifted up high. God. The most kind, generous, wonderful being in this universe. So full of goodness. He has blessed us today with so many blessings. Even the very air that we breathe, the very fact we can open our lungs and breathe in tonight, this free gift of God, air, just the very air itself. We take these things for granted, but they come from our bountiful God. And He is the God who gives us this greatest of all gifts, the gift of eternal life. Third question, last question, who paid for it? Who paid for it? When we buy a wedding gift or a birthday gift or a Christmas gift, we pay for it and we give it to the person. They don't pay a penny. But here's the greatest gift ever. The gift of God, which is eternal life. But I ask you again, who paid for it? And the answer is given at the end of this lovely verse. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now notice it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who paid for it? Jesus Christ our Lord. What a price He paid. You see, folks, the Bible talks of a ransom that was paid. You will find that lovely word ransom that is found in Scripture. And it speaks to us of the price, the cost of this great gift that God is offering to each one tonight. Jesus paid our ransom. He paid it to God, His Father. Jehovah's Witnesses will wrongly tell you that Jesus paid the ransom to Satan, that the price was paid to Satan. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the price was paid to God the Father. You see, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, and we're almost finished. You've listened really well. Ephesians 5 verse 2, it tells us about this great price that Jesus paid so that we could have the gift of eternal life. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. You see it? Not to Satan, to God. For a sweet-smelling savor. The price was paid to God. We, each one, have broken God's holy law. We are in debt to God. We need someone to pay the ransom so that we captives to sin can be set free. And Jesus has paid the ransom. Every penny of it. It wasn't Mary that paid a part of it. It wasn't saints that paid a part of it. I certainly haven't paid any of it. I couldn't pay it in a million years. No, there's only one person who could pay the ransom, and that was the Lord Jesus himself, Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, in Hebrews chapter 9, we have a verse there that speaks of the ransom that was paid by the Savior. Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me, and from sin and shame hath brought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Father, we just wanted to take a moment at the end of our service to really pray for the young people. So many of them, Lord, haven't had the blessing of a stable home to grow up in. And we pray for them tonight that, Lord, you will spare their lives. Keep them away from the bridge, O Lord. Keep them away from the river. Help them to realize that there is life for a look at the crucified one, and that indeed there is life at this moment for them. O Lord Jesus, save these beautiful young people, we pray. Pray, dear Lord, for ourselves tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And how we thank you for the lovely text that though the wages of sin is death, yet the gift of God is eternal life. And bless God, it's all through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for paying that great price so that we could have the free gift. We pray that each one of us, Lord, would receive it. So bless us tonight, hear our cry, and watch over us, Lord, as we go to our homes this evening, and be with us until we meet again in your house. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.